Individualism still reigns pretty strong in the American heart, in the American church, this idea that it's all about me, that I alone am all I need, that it's just me and Jesus, that's all I have and that's all I need. And so because of that, we've spent a significant amount of time catching up on the doctrine of the church and the doctrine of us, the people of God, the plurality of God's people, our unity together, the way that God saves us as a people, as his body, with individual members making up the one body with the head, the Lord Jesus Christ connecting and uniting us all. We often think about our individual relationship with Jesus, which is crucial and important, but maybe less often about how inseparable that relationship is to our relationship with one another as the church. We're connected to Jesus as a body to the head, and so our relationship to him is inevitably bound up in our relationships together. It's like each member of your body is not uniquely, individually connected to the head, but all together as a perfect united system connected to the head. So we've laid a basic foundation of the doctrine of the church, and then last week we started talking about living as the church. What does it look like to kind of flesh these things out in order to truly understand the truth? Part of that is understanding what it means for us, what it looks like lived out in our lives, and we have a little bit more ground to cover there. But I think that we will move on from the doctrine of ecclesiology to the doctrine of the church after this morning. So I'm going to repeat our 3 points from last week on what it is to live as the church of God, and then we'll kind of zero in on the third point there. We raised 3 points last week on what it is to live as the church of God. So we'll kind of recap the first two. And this is great because, you know, I'll preach a sermon, and then a lot of times throughout the following week, I'll think like, oh, I wish I'd have said this, or another thought will come to me, and I wish that would have been good under that heading. And so since we didn't get through all the material, I get another crack at each of the points. So I'll throw a few more things in there on the first couple points, and then we'll spend the bulk of our time on the third point, which we didn't get to at all last week. So living as the church involves following qualified leaders. Living as the church involves receiving the ministry of the church, and living as the church involves ministering our gifts in and to the church. So first, and somewhat quickly, living as the church involves following qualified leaders. We talked about this last week. We saw how the scripture establishes the office of elder and deacon as the two major ongoing offices in the church. And we talked about how they're qualified, those leaders are to be qualified. There's clear qualifications laid out in the Bible for who should be a leader in the church. Not just anyone, but there are lots of character qualifications. And so last week we talked somewhat about avoiding the importance of avoiding a church that doesn't diligently seek qualified leaders, that doesn't take those things seriously. And then you can get people leading the church who aren't connected with Christ and who aren't mature in the faith, who don't have the qualifications that God says a person needs to lead well in the church, and there's dangers there. So I add to that this morning that you have an active role in Gospel Church being a church that follows qualified leaders. So last time I kind of applied it, and like if you find yourself moving on from Gospel Church, going to a different church, like make sure you find a church that seeks to have qualified leaders. I want to talk a little bit about your role in that here at Gospel Church. At Gospel Church, we put our leaders, our potential leaders, through a careful and some might call painstaking assessment according to the biblical qualifications. It's intense. It's difficult. We ask very difficult, very detailed, very probing questions into a person's life and character. And we try to assess them as honestly as we can and tell them all that we see. And it's a beautiful thing. It's challenging. It's glorious. We walk through the list and we spend at least an hour on every qualification. But what does this mean? And how's this active? How's this functioning in your life? And that's something that the current leadership does before someone. So this is how it works. If someone's going to be a leader in gospel church, we'll often remind the church. We'll talk about it again this morning. But we'll say, if you know somebody who you think would make a good elder, a good leader in ministering the word here, then the congregation will nominate them. They'll come to the leaders and say, we think this person should be a pastor. Or if you see somebody who's particularly gifted at serving and meeting practical needs in the body, come to the elders, write us a letter and say, we think this person should be a deacon. And so then when we receive those, then we get the person and we sit them down and we go through the qualifications biblically together. And then after we've gone through all of that, a lot of times we want to announce before we're going through that because, you know, we want to give that person the ability to not pass and avoid embarrassment. But we walk them through that, and as we're coming to the kind of the end of that assessment, and it seems that they meet the biblical qualifications, as near as we can tell, we will present them to the congregation. We will say, we've been examining so-and-so for this position of leadership. Here's what we're seeing. But we want you to consider, you know, in a while, and maybe a month, and maybe 2 months, we'll bring this person and we'll bring them before you, and we'll ask you to affirm them as a leader in our church. So we'll say, you be thinking about it. Do you see, look, you look at the qualifications and you look at the person's life and see if you see anything. And if you do, go and talk to them about it. Bring it up with them and wrestle it through and see. Maybe you're not seeing it rightly, but maybe you are, and find that out. And then if that's something that doesn't get resolved, you think, oh, it was just a misunderstanding. Good, everything moves forward. If not, you could talk to the leaders and we'll work through it. And everybody in the process is open to this process. And so that's all of our role in this, isn't it? All of us have a role in this. But it's easier to just kind of let things go. It's easy to not have those difficult conversations. It's easier to just say, oh, somebody will figure it out. But this is on all of us. This is a call that God gives to all of us. And even if it feels awkward or difficult, we shouldn't let that keep us from doing what's good and right. So that's our role altogether in being a church that follows qualified leaders. So we have elders and deacons here at Gospel Church to serve you. And then we check in. As we go through those processes, it becomes a good opportunity for the existing leaders to kind of assess ourselves and to talk about it as we're grilling one guy and saying, how are you doing on this? How are you doing on that? Tell us about how this is functioning in your life. Then we look at our hearts, we look at our lives and say, well, do we continue to meet these qualifications? These are important things. So we have these leaders, we have elders, we have deacons. Elders who focus on the ministry of the word and prayer and the administration of the sacraments. If you need counsel, direction, prayer, oversight, anointing for healing, you have questions about membership, desires to serve at Gospel Church, come to the elders and let us help you. We have 3 elders at Gospel Church. If you're an elder in Gospel Church, will you please stand up? So everybody can see you. Everybody can know who you are. We have elders, pastor, elder. The word's interchangeable. This is your pastor, Gail. This is your pastor, Tommy. And I'm a pastor at Gospel Church. Okay, you guys can see. These men, along with their wives, serve you selflessly and with joy. They love you. They delight in you. They pray for you. They are concerned for the well-being of your souls. And they set aside incredible amounts of time to care for you and to love you. And they want to do that. So know them. Follow them. Listen to them. And let them care for you. Let them care for your souls. At Gospel Church, we also have deacons. Deacons who focus on the ministry of deeds, which is a pretty broad thing to say. Caring for the practical needs of the church, everything from organizing events or people, fielding tasks for the building, for the organization, the church running and working out, taking calls from the poor in our community, really central to what the deacons do here is member care, that they care for you and they want to care for you and they want to make sure that, as it says in the early church, there's not a needy person among them. Your deacons have a desire, like an earnest desire, that there not be a needy person among Gospel Church. Do you know that? We have two deacons here at Gospel Church. If you're a deacon at Gospel Church, will you please stand up? Do you know your deacons? This is your deacon Tim. This is your deacon Russ. Look at them, smile, and wave. They love being the center of attention, so they're just soaking this up right now. You guys can sit down. These men, along with their wives, sacrificially and just delightedly serve you in the Lord, in the strength that the Spirit supplies. Know them. Follow them. Be known by them. Let them care for you. If you have needs, tell them. I mean, they literally just sit at our meetings and say, like, we want to know wherever there are needs in the congregation. So we can help, or they organize and arrange help for you. Let them know. Let them serve you. We can use more deacons. We could use more. These guys do a lot. These guys do a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure that everything runs smoothly, to make sure that you're cared for. And they just generously and sacrificially give of their time to Gospel Church. And they would love to have more help. So if you see people serving in Gospel Church, you see people who are gifted at caring for others, we encourage you to nominate them to the elders. You can tell us in person. You can write us an email. You can hand us a letter to say, I nominate so-and-so to the office of deacon. And we would love that. The process of getting them begins with you. This is a back and forth process between the members and the leaders. And this is, we do this on purpose so that God's guiding it through. And we see examples of this in the Bible, where in Acts, Paul says, call out from among you seven men full of the Holy Spirit. And so the congregation points them out, and then Paul says, and we will appoint them to the task. And so there's interaction. So the way we try to act that out here is, you guys, we may give a call and say, we could use more deacons, so look around and consider. And then you bring nominations to us, and then we assess them, and then we bring them to you and say, now you consider their lives, and then we will together set them aside for that ministry. So if you see anybody, you know, often we want a title and then the responsibility. We think, like, give me the title and then I'll serve. But it really, I think, works the other way around generally, right? The title goes to the one who is serving. We're looking for people who are doing the work, who are serving, and then we want to empower them and recognize that with the title, with the office. So just ask yourself, who do you see deaconing in Gospel Church? And we're always looking for more elders as well. Who do you see eldering? Who do you see pastoring, caring for people's souls, ministering the word? All right. Living in the church involves following qualified leaders. Secondly, living as the church involves receiving the ministry of the gospel from the church. Receiving the ministry of the gospel from the church. We talked about this last week. We spent most of our time on this last Sunday. We talked about Sunday morning being kind of the center of our plan for discipleship for Gospel Church. It's more than that, but it's certainly not less. This is kind of plan A for your discipleship, is the Sunday morning gathering. This is the heart of it. The worship trains us on how to approach God. As we do it together, we're also learning and being shaped by it, how to approach God on a daily basis as we all approach Him together. We talked about our Wednesday evening prayer meetings. You know, at Gospel Church, we say we are a gospel community of worshipers on mission. This is kind of how we have tried to summarize and describe who we are in a concise way. We're a gospel community of worshipers on mission. So our Wednesday night prayer meeting, you could call our missional worship. Missional worship, we gather together to engage with God, to worship Him. We read the Psalms, and the Psalms are full of praising God and honoring Him and fellowshipping with Him. And then we're praying for His kingdom to spread, for the mission of the church to advance. This prayer meeting is a kind of missional worship. It's good work. The prayer meeting is good work. It's hard work. It's hard work. It's missional work. It's work that advances the kingdom of Christ around the world. Did I mention last week that I want everybody to come to prayer meeting? Then we have gospel communities. Every other Wednesday, we have our gospel communities. So if we are a gospel community of worshipers on mission, prayer is kind of our missional worship piece of that throughout the week. And then the other is our gospel communities. See how that works out? We're trying to drive all of that we are, gospel community. We do that every other Wednesday. Missional worship, we do that every other Wednesday. This all fits together in an intentional plan. There are gospel communities. Please use this opportunity to know and be known here, to be a part of a gospel community. The goal of the gospel communities is that we're all taking what we're learning, what we're receiving on Sunday mornings, and we're driving it out into each other's lives, into our own lives. James says, don't be hearers of the word only, but doers. That's the goal of gospel communities. So as you are involved in them, lean into that, push into that. Because it could easily just be a place where we get together and hang out and enjoy one another, which is good, but there's intention beyond that, that we're really asking one another, how's this going in your life? How are you doing at living as the church? Where are you struggling with that? Where are your challenges? And then you stop, and then when somebody says, man, I'm struggling with getting up to church on Sunday mornings. I want to be there, I want to do it, but I'm struggling. Then just when you hear something like that, just stop and pray for that person. But God will help them to get to church on Sunday morning or whatever it is. And then just watch God answer that prayer and move. And he does do it, and he will. Make sure we're doing that in our gospel communities. We may have discussion about the content of the sermons in gospel community, but we're always driving at asking, how are you doing? How's that working out in your life? How are you applying those truths and those realities? There's kind of a two-phase rhythm to our gospel communities that I thought about one day when we were reading a book at our house about edible plants that grow around our house. So there's one called Oregon Grape, and it's just they're putting out a bunch of berries right now. I'm sure you've seen them if you looked them up in the book. But the thing about Oregon Grape is there's two benefits of the Oregon Grape plant. One is in the berries, and the other is in the roots. And I forget what exactly they do, but we could look it up. But the thing is that if you want to get what's good in the berries, you have to go in the summer. Because in the summertime, the kind of life of the plant blossoms out into the berries, and you pick those, and then you can get the nourishment from them. The good stuff that is in the roots of them that you can make tea out of and stuff, you have to wait until the winter when the energy of the plant goes down into the roots, and it's underground, and it's there. And then in the winter, you gather the roots and you can use those. And I thought, you know, that's kind of how my neighborhood is. In the summer, everybody's outside. They're kind of engaging. They're engaging with one another. And in the winter, you kind of stop seeing people nearly as much. Everybody's just kind of hunkered down in their house. It's pretty dark. Our community's kind of that way. So we thought, what if we modeled our gospel communities? Because we want our gospel communities to both be like reaching out and pulling people in and being kind of a front door for people to be welcomed into the life of the church. We also want it to be a place where we're growing deep and challenging each other and growing in putting roots down. So that, what if we kind of have similar rhythms to our gospel communities? Where in the wintertime, we're focusing inward on building each other up and growing strong together. And then as summer comes around, we're focusing on reaching out to others, meeting new people, inviting others in, kind of creating an opportunity where people can come in and get to know the church and find their way in. So that's kind of the rhythm of our gospel communities that we follow. If you're a leader of a gospel community or a co-leader of a gospel community, each of the communities has a leader and then a co-leader. And then the goal is that eventually when that thing grows, then it'll split and the co-leader will each lead their own and then raise up another co-leader within, and that they can kind of multiply that way. So if you're a leader or a co-leader of a gospel community, husband and wife, please, will you stand up? So if you're not involved in the gospel community, Tim and Marcy, will you stand up? If you're not involved in the gospel community, you can reach out to these people. These people love you, Scott and Jenny. Definitely. Reach out to these people and ask them, how can we get involved? How can we get engaged? And they will help you get connected. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. These guys care about you. They pray for you. They're intentional about wanting to connect the people of Gospel Church and help Gospel Church grow. What a beautiful system. All right. And then we talked about how there's lots of opportunities for study and growth in the Word and fellowship at Gospel Church in terms of receiving the ministry of Gospel Church. There's all kinds of opportunities to study and grow in the Word and fellowship, which is foundational to growing the Christian life, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's all kinds of opportunities here. I'm just going to run through them pretty quickly. And in general, these should start up again in the fall. Most of these are somewhat seasonal. We have Sunday school. We have two semesters every year. If you miss Scott's written study on the person of Christ, it's still there. That's the glory about having a written study, is it's just published on the website. You can go there and you can catch up. Just work that into your devotionals. It's rich and glorious, and it will call forth awe at the person of Christ in your heart. How about that? And we'll start those up again in the fall. We have the Women in the Word. Mary, will you stand up? Thank you. Mary leads a women's Bible study called Women in the Word. They do two semesters a year. Also, they work diligently through books of the Bible carefully. And one of the things I love about Women in the Word is they study the Bible deeply and richly together. But they're also, like, sometimes I'll be in the church and they'll be meeting over here, like they're eating together, and then I'll look over and then they're singing together, and then I'll look over and they're praying together, and then I'll look over and they're diligently studying together, and they're growing together, and they're involved in each other's lives, and they're looking for ways to minister to each other outside. They're doing like service projects for different community needs around the community of Durango. They're working to be involved in each other's lives, to counsel each other in the Word, and it's just a glorious, beautiful ministry. And they're hoping to start up after Labor Day in September. So, Women in the Word, what a glorious opportunity to grow. If you're not involved in that and you'd like to, talk to Mary. There's a men's theology pub. John, will you stand up? John's been leading the men's theology pub. Thank you. Men gather and they discuss and work through rich topics of theology together at the Irish Embassy once a month. It's a glorious, rich opportunity and time to dig into the Word together. If you'd like to go, this pending a restart at some point when that works well, talk to John about that. There's homeschool moms meetings. Marcy, would you stand up? Marcy is just gloriously equipping homeschool moms and encouraging them and putting together times for homeschool moms to get together and to be challenged and encouraged and equipped in giving our children a Christian education. Thank you, Marcy. If you just look at Marcy, notice who she is. If you are a homeschooling mom, if you hope to be a homeschooling mom someday, talk to Marcy and see how you can get involved in those things that she's doing there. It's a glorious thing. There's spiritual refreshment and prayer practice ministry for those at Sunshine Gardens. I think that Becky's probably at home. Becky, will you stand up at home? if you don't know Becky, just ask. You can ask Mary, her sister. You can ask me, and we can find ways to connect you with her. But Becky leads the spiritual refreshment, I think, on Saturdays. Gail and Mary do the prayer practice on Thursdays. Okay, Bible study on Wednesdays. And you guys do the spiritual refreshment on Saturdays and the prayer practice on Thursdays. Awesome. What a glorious opportunity. We have people who live at Sunshine Gardens, Ambrose and Inez both. And then from there, there's just others that come in and receive this ministry just regularly. And obviously things are difficult right now in terms of going into to Sunshine Gardens. But as this resumes, as things settle back to normal, these are glorious opportunities for those who are there to receive gospel ministry, but also for you to participate, to care for others, to minister the Word, to minister in leading in prayer. And I'm sure that it would be spiritually refreshing to have others come alongside in that ministry and participate and take part and help to lead. Maybe even God would put it on somebody else's heart, and eventually someone else would take over one of those. But I'm getting ahead of myself to our ministering our gifts. We're almost there. We have gospel seminary classes. You can talk to John or myself about this. This is designed to train up pastors and leaders. And so we have like seminary level courses going on all the time in fall and spring semesters. This coming semester, we will be teaching a Greek exegesis of the book of Colossians, where we will be reading and translating the book of Colossians from the original Greek and wrestling through it together. We'll have systematic theology 3, and we'll have a course on leadership. And we just have rich, robust theological engagement that if you're looking for kind of the next level of digging in deep, talk to John or myself, and we would love to get you involved in that. And then we have other occasional studies in groups. I mean, there are things that pop up and things that are seasonal, and there's just things going on. And these are just kind of the more formal things, right? In addition to all the informal ministry of the word and prayer and encouragement. We hope that out of all those things spin more and more just time encouraging one another in ministry and in counseling one another. So living as the local church involves receiving the ministry of Christ, of the gospel, of his word through his people. There are so many ways to be involved, to be plugged in, to receive the ministry of God through his church. And we just praise God for that. I want to celebrate all those together, recognize and just make sure that everybody's aware of all these various opportunities that you have to be involved here in the community and what God's doing. Now, before my time gets away from me again on the recap section, point 3, living as the local church involves ministering your gifts to the church. It involves ministering your gifts for the church. Ministering your gifts in the church. Because so far, most of what we've talked about is receiving ministry. Is being ministered to. Okay? Just like the kids showing up to the table for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's all really important. But it's not the end game. It's not everything. Eating, receiving, is for rest and fellowship and enjoyment. But it's also for giving you strength, right? To work hard. We eat both to take a rest and to enjoy time together and to delight in it, but also to get nourishment for our bodies so that we can go and work hard and serve others in love. As children grow, they should be contributing more and more to the household, right? The older children get, the more they receive. They receive so that they can give back, so that they're serving, so that in the end you have this family culture where everybody is giving more than they're taking. What happens when you do that? If you have a big group of people and everybody's giving more than they're receiving, what's the outcome? Abundance. You just have an overflow. You have an overflow of whatever, of all kinds of things, that overflows in generosity and glory to others like our God does. It's a beautiful thing. We grow to become gracious and generous like our Father. And so it is with the church. God calls us to so much more than receiving the ministry of the church, but to giving and serving, to receive, to be ministered to, so you grow strong and you pour yourself out for others to minister to them. Giving and serving will happen in these same contexts we've just outlined. I'm not now going to go through a whole other host of things, really, though there might be a few others. But it's just a different mindset, isn't it? It's a different heart. What are you showing up to do? You're showing up to Sunday morning. You're showing up to gospel community. You're showing up to prayer meeting. Now, not only to receive the ministry, but also to minister to others, to pour yourself out, to give yourself away. Have a heart of a servant. Like Christ does. It requires a different level of maturity, a different level of growth into giving rather than only receiving. We are careful not to over-program your lives at Gospel Church. We generally strongly encourage Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. But it takes intentionality to step into these contexts with a heart to serve others. Jesus told us that it's better to give than to receive. It's common for people to complain about not getting enough out of the church, not getting enough from the church. But it's important that we realize that if that's our mindset, we're probably immature. We probably have the wrong approach to what we're supposed to be doing here. I think, I'm not receiving enough from that church. I want to find another one that will give more to me. But that's an immature mindset, whereas the mature person comes to church and says, how can I give myself away? How can I serve? How can I pour myself out for others? Where can I get involved to serve? We all need grace. None of us are beyond being served, so don't be proud. But you are called to grow into the mindset of Christ, who came specifically not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is what we're called to grow up into. Remember the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is where God's bringing us as the church. Do you know why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea? Have you heard of the Dead Sea in Israel? Do you know why it's the Dead Sea? Because water flows in, but water doesn't flow out. It flows in, it stays, some of it evaporates, but there's not flow, and so it dies. It becomes stagnant. Don't be like that. Right? If you receive comfort, help, and ministry here, it's so that you can turn around and comfort others with the comfort with which you have received. Remember in Philippians, Paul says, if there's any comfort, if there's any encouragement in Christ, therefore take on the mind that Christ has and consider others' interests ahead of your own. It flows in so that it can flow out. You are a conduit of God's love. You are a channel. You are not a cul-de-sac, but you are a highway. You receive so that you can give. I know you guys are saying, when do we get to the Bible? So here we are, 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-7. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. That's 2 Corinthians 1, 3. He's blessing God who gives mercy, who gives comfort. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our affliction. That's receiving from God. You're afflicted, you're having a hard time. God ministers comfort to you. Who comforts us in all our affliction so that, why does he comfort us in our affliction? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So God brings you into affliction on purpose. Then he ministers his comfort to you so that you can in turn take that same comfort that you've received and use it to comfort other people. You see how you're a conduit. He comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that comfort that comes from God flows through you to others. For as we abundantly share in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it's for your comfort, Paul says, and salvation. And if we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same things, the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. So if I'm afflicted, it's for your comfort, because when I'm afflicted, then I'm going to get comfort, and then I'm going to have comfort to comfort you with. And when I'm comforted, it's for your comfort. So when I'm afflicted, and then I'm comforted, my comfort is for your comfort. So it always works out for the comfort of others, for the strengthening of others. That comforting is a strong word. It's not just how you feel under the big fluffy blanket in your bed, though that's part of it. But it's also a strengthening. It brings strength with forte, with strength. That was how Paul spoke to the church, but he didn't want them to just think, I guess this is all about me and my comfort. He wanted them to learn to then imitate him and start to think of themselves that way, that whatever comfort then I receive from him will then come through me and flow to others as we serve one another. So don't let your relationship with the church become one of constant need. Watch your mindset towards the church. If you're afflicted, it's for the comfort of others. Are we able to take that step in our minds? Like, you've been afflicted. Paul says, if we're afflicted, it's for your comfort. Can you get there? She's like, why is this happening to me? Why am I afflicted? It's so that I can be comforted by the church, by God directly, by God through the church, and then I can pass that on to others. If you're comforted, it's for the comfort of others. Seek out people here who need you. Seek out people who need comfort. They're all around you. If you can't find them, ask your pastors and we can help you find them. There are plenty of people, even in this size of a group, all the time, who are in serious need of comfort, of help, of strength, of encouragement, of ministry. None of this means that everybody here will have a title, nor a clearly defined role in a program in the church. Our service is just first interpersonal. It's just organic. It's just through our connection and love with one another. You see, you don't need a ministry position to do this kind of thing. We love one another. And so we seek to know one another. And then as we know one another, we understand one another's needs. And then we seek to care for each other, to listen to one another, to welcome each other. As you do that, as you show up with love and care, and Gospel Church does this well. And this is a beautiful place. I loved seeing the email from Tim. Like, there's a need, and we're going to need some people to meet this. And then, like, an hour and a half later, there's another email. Like, okay, the need's met. Like, stop calling. It's plenty. What a beautiful thing. God's at work here. I love to see this. And I just want us to continue to grow in that mindset and in that way. As we do this, as we show up to love each other, to care for each other, think about how we can serve each other, to be there for one another, to give strength where it's needed, we build trust with each other. And as we build trust with each other, then we're even further able to bear our burdens, to share our burdens with each other and to carry each other's burdens. Burdens of sin, burdens of temptation, burdens of discouragement, burdens of practical needs, sorrow, loneliness, sickness, suffering. At Gospel Church, we believe that the members of the church are the first line of God's care for one another. Each one of us. That we're the first line of biblical counseling for one another through struggles. That God has equipped every one of us to speak the truth in love to each other so that we all grow up together. We have leaders eager to equip you in this. We have loads of books you can check out in the back to help you. I would encourage you to prepare for that beforehand. Like, build up your stock of wisdom and knowledge in the Lord so that you can have that to minister to others. Also, receive comfort from the Lord. Go to Him for comfort in your affliction so that you know how to be comforted in the Lord. And then when people come to you, you say, I know, I have thoughts about that. I have ideas to help you. We have, really practically speaking, we have right back here, just around the corner there, we have this whole thing of these little pamphlets, these little books from CCEF, which is this Christian counseling ministry. And they're just on all kinds of topics of struggle that people will encounter. And we have those there for you to equip you for that. So if somebody comes to you and says, I'm struggling with this, and you think, I don't know how to help you with that, you can just walk back, say, let's walk over here and see if there's any of these things that apply. And they're kind of designed to deal with a host of issues that people struggle with in the church. You could say, what if we read through this together and prayed through it together? And what if, maybe that would be a way I can help. Like, I don't know exactly how to help, but what if we worked through this together and prayed together through it? That's kind of that first line of care for one another that we're seeking to have here at Gospel Church. Engage, just jump in, seek to help biblically and by the Holy Spirit with truth and love. Well, let's talk about specific ways to serve one another here at Gospel Church. Because every Christian has a responsibility to proclaim the gospel to others, to make disciples. This is the mission that's given to the church as a whole. We're called to do this, the Great Commission. Leaders are given to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. So listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 4 about this. Ephesians 4:11. We looked at this last week. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. So he gave these leaders to do what? Do you know what it says? To equip the saints to do the work of ministry. To equip the saints. What are saints? Saints are those few super holy people, right? No, that's not how the Bible talks about it. Saints are every Christian, every single believer, everybody who has the Holy Spirit living in them is made holy. So leaders are given to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. You don't have to ask, am I called to ministry? If you are a Christian, you are called to ministry. God gives the leaders to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Speaking the truth in love, ministering the word of God to one another. Share what you're learning with each other. Disciple your children diligently. You've got a little, if you are a family, if you have young kids, you have a little pile of live-in disciples. Start there with diligence. Give yourself away to that glorious task. Invite others to church. Invite others to your gospel communities, to your small groups. Start Bible studies with interested friends. Be hospitable to your neighbors and speak to them about Christ. Welcome new people in the church. Invite them over. Get to know them. Listen to them. Ask them questions about how they came to be here. Befriend them, even if they're difficult. We're all called to participate in this work together. I love when I hear stories of you guys sharing Christ with others. I hear this regularly, and it's a beautiful thing, of telling others about Jesus. I love when I hear that people feel warmly welcomed at Gospel Church. People say, I came, and I felt really welcome. Like, people really cared, and they wanted to hear, they wanted to know, and I was welcomed in. I love when I hear that. I grieve when I see people not being reached out to, not being pulled into the community. When I see people who are new or who kind of only come every once in a while, and after church, I just kind of see them standing or sitting off by themselves. And that grieves me, because we can all just kind of reach out. This is all of our task. If you look over and you see somebody in your row and you don't know them, God has called you to minister to that person. You have a ministry right there. That means owning your membership here, right? If you are a member of Gospel Church, you represent Gospel Church. It's not them, it's you, it's us. When worship ends, don't sit and wonder if anyone will come to reach out to you. Look around and ask yourself, who looks like nobody's talking to them? Who looks like they could be reached out to? Take an interest in them. Invite them over to lunch. You can even learn to plan to have ready meals at home. Put something in the crock pot before and say, we'll just pick somebody to invite over at church today so we can get to know them, so we can minister to them. Discuss as a couple, if you're a couple, kind of a pre-approval to invite people over after church, right? So that you don't, well, I don't know if she wants to, or I'm not sure if he wants to. I'll have to check. Just kind of have that discussion beforehand. Let's have people over. If you reach out to somebody and they seem like you want to invite them over or invite them out, just go for it. And if we both end up doing it, all the better. Talk about those things. Be prepared for that. And then discuss the sermon with people. Ask clear questions like, how's your faith? Is your faith strong? Do you know Christ? How can we pray for you? Serving the local church practically is a call for all of us. It includes giving money regularly. It takes money to run the basics of the church. It requires money to have the lights on, to pay the rent in the building, to have ministers set aside and ready to minister to people, to stream and post the sermons, to pass out discipleship materials. We work hard to keep these costs as low as we can so we have plenty to give outside of our congregation to the poor and to missions. We can help the genuinely poor by giving to the church so that money goes to people who are in need. It goes to the gospel going to the ends of the earth. You know, we're called to participate in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And one of the ways that we do that is by supporting missionaries. And we do that together as a church. This is a huge part of the giving of Gospel Church. It won't work if we don't all participate, each person according to what they have. Make this a regular practice in your life, financially supporting God's work in the kingdom. He says it's a significant heart issue. This is where your treasure is, there your heart is also. C.S. Lewis once said, I think the only rule I can offer on giving is to give everything you think you can afford and then give a little more. Is God able to take care of you if you give? If you hear this call from Tommy this morning and think, there are Christian brothers and sisters and pastors who don't know if they will eat tonight in Kenya. And you hear that and you think like, well, I already gave this month. I don't know if I have any extra. Like, will God be able to supply? Do you see yourself as like a conduit or as like a cul-de-sac financially? Can you outgive God? Every Christian has a responsibility to cultivate and to use their gifts to serve the local church. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each person is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God for the common good, for the good of everybody. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. You have a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God in you with specific gifts for this church, for this body. Do you believe that? Do you take that seriously? If you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit indwells you, He has given you spiritual gifts for the building up of the body. They're for others. They're for the whole. They're not just for you to enjoy on your own. They're for giving away. How do you know what your gifts are? How do you figure them out? I don't think that you need like a survey. I don't think you need to kind of fill out a long in-depth chart. I think all you need to do is show up regularly in the church and for the people of God and genuinely love them and notice the needs that you notice and then move to meet those needs. I really think that's all you need to do. And then, because God will cause you to see different needs than He will you. God's going to put, He's going to let you see specific needs in the church and give and put specific people in front of you, and He's going to give you a heart to meet those needs. And as you just operate in that, you'll start to hear people say, it was really encouraging to me when you did that. Like when you spoke that encouragement to me, like it helped me. Or like when you invited me over, like I just felt so loved in your home. I just felt so loved by you. Or when you listened to me and you listened to my problems, like I felt the love of God through that. Thank you. That's how you know. It's what you see. It's how you start to give. And then people, the church will start to tell you just naturally, like that helped me. That's how you know you're functioning with your gift. It's not complicated. It's just hard. Because loving people is hard. Because not being selfish is hard. But it's not complicated. Just care for one another. There are times when people come to the elders with troubles and we seek to engage others in their care. And we've heard this many times where they say, I just don't have the kind of relationship with anybody in the church that I would feel comfortable sharing like this level of struggle with them. So that means that just pushing into the community of the church and just having rich, deep relationships with people will make you a ready minister in times of need. Or we'll say, is there anybody in your gospel community who can help you with this also? And they'll say, yeah, there is. I can think of two people who I'm close with, who we speak genuinely with one another. They seem to really care how it's going with me. Be that, and God will just bring so many opportunities to you to serve here. All the gifts, if you wonder about ministering your gifts, the Bible has this really encouraging way of summarizing all the gifts really simply. In 1 Peter 4:10, let me find it here, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So God gives you grace, gifts by his grace, and then calls you to steward those for others. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we have these lists of the gifts, but I like how Peter here just breaks it all down into two categories. You have speaking gifts and serving gifts. The one who speaks as though he speaks the oracles of God. The one who serves in the strength that God supplies. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. So it is with the major offices of the church, isn't it? The ministry of the word and the ministry of deed. Speaking and serving. And so that might really help you as you think, like, what area are my gifts in? Speaking or serving. Find where you fit. They're both of crucial importance. If you need help, ask your leaders and we will help you find ways to serve. It doesn't require a formal ministry, but I'm just going to run through a bunch of ministries that we have here that you could use to get involved, and then we'll start wrapping this up. It doesn't require a program. We have lots of ways that kind of ministries are cropping up around here where you can plug in to serve others. We have evangelism teams that go out weekly during the weekday to go and share the gospel with people. If you have a hunger to share the gospel, to evangelize, we have groups that go out, and you could go any week. And if you think, well, if we go on the weekday, during the day, that's not an ideal time for many of you. But if you really want to go, but that time slot doesn't fit with you, just ask us, and we can work around that. We can find ways to go. We go and minister at Planned Parenthood. It used to be more consistently on Tuesday mornings, but now sometimes it's Tuesday morning. Sometimes it's Wednesday at noon, and sometimes it's Thursday at noon, because they're kind of moving things around because they don't like Christians standing outside of Planned Parenthood. And so they're always trying to stay ahead of us because they don't want us out there calling out to the women and saying, we will help you. Like, please don't go in there. We will give you anything you need. Like, we just test us. John always says, just test us on this. We will help you with anything you need. Whatever you think is impossible, and that killing your child is the only way to address it, we will help you. Like, we care for you. Please don't do this. And it's a glorious thing to do. It's an intense ministry because people hate you there. Just your very standing there, even if you never offer any rebuke, even if you just say only words, like, just help, like, we'll help you. Like, people will curse you. They will threaten you. They will just spew venom from their hearts at you. And it's intense, but it's really important. And often, we get the response, well, you're a man, and so you have nothing to say about this. And I think the more women we have there, the better. The more women that come, and then they don't have that excuse anymore. Well, you're just a man, you couldn't understand. So this is, talk to me if you want to do this. Talk to John, talk to Tim Studer, if you'd like to be a part of that ministry. You can go Tuesday mornings, you can go Wednesdays at noon, Thursdays at noon, and even if you just go, everyone kind of streams in at once, and they sit in the parking lot, and then they walk in, and you can stand, and you can pray, you can offer help to them. Even if you can just come for a half an hour, if you get there at the right time, you can catch them kind of all heading in, or maybe on the way out, after it's over. And now nobody cares, and they're just walking with tears in their eyes back out to their cars. And you can stand there and say, we will still help you. Even though it's over, it's too late for us to kind of stop you. Like, we will minister to you. We will care for you. We will help you because you're going to need healing and care. We provide a shelter meal at the homeless shelter. Holly and Stephanie are kind of heading this up. And through gospel communities, which is great, so get involved that way or talk directly to them. This is a great way to serve those in need. There's the prayer and word ministries at Sunshine Gardens that I talked about. There's opportunities Thursday mornings and Wednesdays at noon, at 10, Saturday mornings. These things are on pause for now, right? But if you'd like to go and minister there, you can help. You can plug in with that ministry. There's a greeter ministry here, welcoming people, orienting them to our church, making them wear masks, helping them find a seat. That one's gotten more complicated lately, but you can talk to Tim about that greeting ministry and helping kind of welcome people. The music team is getting pretty full by God's grace, but if you have desires there, you can talk to John about what that could look like if you have a heart to lead in worship and you have the skill to be part of that. of communion set up that Tommy talked about, of gospel communities to show up to serve others, prayer meeting to pray for others. Sunday morning nursery, we'll eventually return back to that. That's always in need of helpers. Sunday school classes to come and participate and contribute, or maybe to teach. We have missions ministry, connecting with the missionaries we support, organizing. You could organize care packages for our missionaries. You could reach out to them and get to know them and pray for them and write them letters of encouragement. We could do short-term missionary trips. We haven't had any in a few years. Maybe you could lead one. If church planting opportunities, maybe God will continue to call people from here to our church plant in Bayfield. Maybe God will call some of you continually to join John and Ryan as they prepare to go to the Bay Area to plant another gospel church in the Bay Area. Perhaps God will call you to participate in that in 2021. Operation Christmas Child, Compassion International. Becky organizes these every year. You could help her organize that. You can participate. We want to do a resurrection festival in 2021 where we're learning to celebrate the resurrection and make a huge deal of it here at our church, and to continue to grow that into a whole full-fledged festival where we teach one another and teach our culture that the resurrection is something worth blowing the doors open for. If that's interesting to you, talk to me about how you can be involved in making that a big deal. We're trying to work on doing some family conferences, some regular conferences to build into families, marriages, and parenting, and to encourage people in that. And it will take all kinds of different types of gifts to pull something like that together. There's just so many ways to serve. God calls us to serve, and we love to serve. And Gospel Church is a beautiful place where God's calling us to serve one another, and I just pray that He will continue to call us more and more into this. In all of this, we're serving Jesus. So let me just land by telling you one thing to encourage you in it. God doesn't need anything from you. Do you know that? He says, "Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" To the wicked, God says, "What right have you to recite my statutes?" Oh, wait, no, I skipped over it. No, I just missed it. Oh, it's, yeah, Psalm 50:12. God says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world and all of its fullness are mine." God doesn't really need you, but His church does. And that's why Jesus says, "Whatever you do to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me." So if you need motivation to serve in the church, just realize that when you serve others in the church, when you serve the slightest thing, you bring somebody a cup of cold water, you serve in the smallest way, you are serving Christ Himself. Have you been served by Jesus? Do you long to return love and worship to Him? Do you sometimes feel like you don't know exactly how to do that? He doesn't need anything. He gives us so much, and I want it. It's like kids trying to get a Christmas present for their parents, you know? They didn't have any money. They didn't really need anything. What do I do? But God says, just serve one another, and when you do that, you are serving Him. God has loved you. He has rescued you. He's forgiven your sins. He has saved you. He has pardoned all the guilt for all our selfishness and all our self-focus and not serving of others. He's forgiven it all. He's put it all on His Son, Jesus. He's given you His Holy Spirit. Let's respond to Him through pouring our lives out for one another in the church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.